Jump on into the scriptures this morning. I noticed, I don't know if anybody else noticed, I think we've done something this morning that we've never done the whole time I've been here. We started 5 minutes early in the choir. That means I can preach 10 minutes longer, right? Amen. No, I just noticed that and I said, wow, are we getting started a little early this morning? That's good. I like it. But I appreciate just being in the house of the Lord this morning. Glad you're here. Again, I want to say I appreciate just the good time the Lord gave us yesterday with each other. I love being with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Ain't nothing like it. I sure do appreciate it. Looking forward to spending heaven with you. Amen. Looking forward to eternity. And looking forward to that. Thank God for what He's done already. Bible says here in Matthew chapter 16. Excuse me. Back up. Chapter 15. We'll get into chapter 16. 16 is where we'll be looking mainly today. But chapter 15 and verse number 39, the last verse there, is where we're going to take our text this morning. And then we will go over into the first part of chapter number 16 for a few verses here. We have several verses here looking at just a few things there. And God's laid this on our heart early this morning and just kind of blessed us with this. Going to help us, I hope, in this scripture this morning. Stand with us, if you will, for the reading of God's word. You pray for us this morning. I desperately need your prayers this morning. God help us in this message. I started to call the deacons up again and ask them to pray around us, but I believe I'll just let them pray from their seats back there, if you will. Men, help us pray this morning. I've just got a burden on our heart for the message this morning. I hesitate very often, I guess you'd say. I hear a lot of preachers, and I'm not belittling them by no means and running them down by no means. Don't get me wrong what I'm fixing to say here. But you hear a lot of preachers will talk about the day and time we're living. And I say the same thing. And I use that statement as where we're living, the condition of our nation, the condition of our world, even the condition of our county and our states, our home, if you will, here close. And we look at a lot of that and we think about a lot of that. But I'm cautious about saying that statement and keep on saying that statement, because I don't want you to get the thought in your mind that God ain't still on the throne. I believe we need to stop just for a minute. I do this every now and then, just inform you and inform the devil, God's still in control of this thing. Amen. He's still in control, okay? So don't get discouraged, okay? And just lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh, okay? So let's just keep on looking for Him, okay? But I hesitate to make that statement. But this morning, the whole message that God has given us this morning upon our heart is about, if you will, looking at what's going on around us. I believe we can look at that. Now notice with me in chapter 15 and verse number 39. And I'll read this text here and I'll give you the thought, and then we'll get into verse chapter number 16. The Bible says here, "And He sent away the multitude, and took ship, and came unto the coast of Magdala." Magdala, notice that word there. I want to preach this morning on the thought about what can you see from Magdala. In other words, as we look at this word and this place here, it's a place in Palestine, and it was a place there that, if you will, that was up high. It was up higher than anything else. And if you look at that word means a tower. It means also to look around from above, to kind of look around all the way around. Don't stop at one, just 180 degrees. Don't stop at just one thing, but look all around. That's what that word means there, Magdala. I hope I'm pronouncing that word right. If I ain't pronouncing it right, that's hillbilly word for whatever it says there, okay? Amen, Magdala. That's what we're going to call it, okay? So don't hold that against me. But as I looked at this, I thought about, as He had left there, He'd already fed the 4,000 here in the scripture, and He'd come down here. The Bible says that He sent the multitude away. He got in a ship, and He went over there into this other place called Magdala there. And when He walked into that place, if you notice in chapter 16, on down through these verses here just for a few minutes, we'll see what that He saw in this place, okay, in this place called Magdala. So with that thought, I want to say this. We're going to look today from the Tower of Magdala, and I'll ask ourselves the question, what are we going to see? What are we seeing from this place or from this tower? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You again, Lord, for Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, I thank you, Lord, just for the opportunity to be in your house. Oh, dear God, you know my heart this morning. Lord, I'm nothing. I don't claim to be. Lord, I don't even deserve to be in your house. I don't deserve to live. Lord, we don't deserve anything but hell this morning. And God, we know that. And Lord, I confess that to you, Father. Lord, I ask you here this morning, dear God, that you'd come and meet with your people, Father. We gather together on this Sunday morning, Lord, just to sit together in heavenly places. And Lord, just to listen to the songs of Zion sung and listen to the word of God preached. And oh God, thank you for the word of God. Lord, we thank you, God, for just being able to sit together. Thank you for the good Holy Spirit that we feel in our soul this morning. God, I pray, Father, you touch us. Lord, I pray you give us fresh oil and fresh unction as we stand this morning. God, I need your help and I need your touch. I can't do nothing without you. You know that. I confess to you, Lord, my inability and my unworthiness, Lord. I can't do nothing, Lord. You know that. And Lord, I pray you'd help us this morning, God, and do that needs to be done. And oh, God, I beg you, Lord, in this crowd, if there's one in our message lost, please, Lord, reach out. Touch that heart, oh, God, that you might be saved. Lord, if there's one here this morning that might be following you far off and not as close to you as they should be, Lord, I pray conviction upon them. Lord, I pray your power and your spirit come there and you draw them to this altar, Lord, that they might accept you and might get closer to thee, Father. And those that are lost, that you might touch them, that they might be drawn, that they might accept thee. Lord, I beg you here this morning that you'd help me to say everything I should and nothing I shouldn't. Give me fresh oil, fresh unction, Father. And we'll give you praise, glory, and honor, Lord, for everything you do. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Again, I want you to look at that word there, Magdalia there. And that word there, again, means a tower, or to look around, if you will, to be above everything in order that you might be able to see what's going on. Church, we're living in day and time when I believe we might need to stop just for a minute and look around at the situations and the conditions that we're in. Amen. I do believe that. But I want to say this also. Don't take your eyes off God while you do. Amen. Lift your eyes to the hill from whence comes your help. Amen. He'll take us through this life. I'll promise you that. No matter how bad it gets, or no matter how dark it gets, no matter who's the president or who's the king or whoever, God will still take us through this life. Amen. He's still got his people in his hand. Amen. And he will carry us through. Amen. I'll promise you that. But if you'll notice with me in chapter 16 and verse number 1, I'm going to read a few verses here. I find two groups of people that Jesus, if you will, has went and has found in this place called Magdalia there. Verse number 1 of chapter 16, the Bible says this. He said, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto you but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Notice verse 5, we find the second group. First of all, in verse 1, we found the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In verse number 5, we'll find the second group. He says here, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. Do ye yet not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine
of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So in this scripture here that I read to you, again, we find two groups of people there that Jesus has went and found in this place called Medalia there. The first people we come to is the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I'm amazed here as I look at this. We find these two groups of people, then they are religious people, if you will, Pharisees and Sadducees. And then we find the disciples there, which would be followers of Jesus. Everybody agree with me there? Say amen. But really, the world, they didn't find. I noticed this. The world, he really didn't find. The Bible don't say anything about those that lived over on the countryside or over on the hillside. But he went and began to talk about that religious group. Amen. And he talked about the disciples that were following him. Amen. So I believe this morning as we step into this tower and we begin to look out around us today, I believe, yes, I could look at you and say this, that the world is dying and going to hell. Amen. Those that are lost and undone without God, they are dying and going to hell. Amen. And those of you this morning, you listen to me on the sound of my voice. If you're here this morning, you're lost. I can promise you on the authority of God's word that you will spend eternity in hell unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. I believe that in the depths of my heart, that's what the Bible teaches. Okay. That's not Marcala philology. That's the word of God. Okay. So I do believe that. But I believe as we look at the scripture, I believe the reason Matthew wrote this down under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost is to show us that we might need to take a look at the religious folk. Amen. We might need to take a look at those religion. We might need to take a look at those that are following Jesus just a little bit. Amen. And I'm going to try my best to be in a hurry, try my best to hurry in this. But I believe we need to stop just for a minute this morning and take a look at what God wants us to see this morning. Okay? Let's first of all look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We find these two groups, we call them sects there, as they came there in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, they came on the scene there. The Pharisees, they were, I guess you'd say, stayed more towards the law and towards the things of Moses there, and towards that, if you will, and tried to stay with those things. The Sadducees, I always like to say it this way, they were Sadducees because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Amen. They didn't believe in God. Amen. So they were Sadducees. Amen. They didn't believe in the Spirit. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in a lot of this stuff. But the thought we need to understand this morning is this, that they were both religious. They were both trying their best to reach God with their religion. We find that the Pharisees, if I remember correctly there, the temple there, they stayed more in the temple. If you excuse me, let me back up, set this way, I got them mixed up. The Pharisees stayed more in the synagogues than they did the temple. If you will, the Sadducees, they stayed more in the temple than they did the synagogues. There's two different things there. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? As we look at this, we find these two groups. But as I see this, I see God telling us in there when he told his disciples, said, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, stay away from that religious stuff. Amen. He said, stay away from that doctrine. Now, I want you to listen to me this morning, and I'm going to get close to this morning, okay? I'm just going to preach what God gives me. It'll be all right. Say amen. Amen. I believe it's time that we get with God, we get with this book, we get with Jesus, and we stand against anything else other than that. Amen. I believe it's time we stand up and point out the devil, okay? I believe it's time we stand up and preach against the things that are not right with this book, okay? The things that don't go along with this book, amen? I believe it's time we stand up and we preach against those things, amen? I do believe that. I try my best to preach to you the word of God. I try my best to stay in it, but I say to you this morning, we're living in a society today when you can just believe anything you want to. You can go any church you want to. You can do whatever you want to, and everybody thinks it's okay. I'm going to tell you this morning, under the authority of God's word, it is not okay. Amen. Jesus said in the scriptures, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Stay away from it. Amen. He said, don't get around it. Amen. Now, preacher, we're a Pentecostal Baptist church. We believe in the King James Version Bible. We believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe exactly that book. We believe that Bible. We believe that. Why in the world would you preach? Why in the world would you preach something like that in a church right here? You listen to me this morning, because just that quick, if you quit reading in that book, you quit standing in that book, and you go to dilly-dally and out there in the world, the devil can draw you out to another place. The devil can take you to another place. Amen. It ain't long, you listen to me, till he'll take you down if you ain't careful. The devil will. That's what he wants to do. Amen. He wants to take you away from that. I believe today, you listen to me, we've got churches everywhere, that so-called churches that has all things inside of them that should not be there. Amen. Should not be there. Amen. I believe this morning we ought to get in that book and we ought to stay in that book. Amen. I believe we ought to go with it. Preacher, what are you saying? What should we look for when we're looking at some, if you will, some of these Pharisees and Sadducees? What should we look for? What's the things that we ought to, if you will, look at? Well, I'm glad we're standing on the tower this morning. Everybody on the tower with me, say amen. Everybody looking out, amen. Say, everybody with me, say amen. I believe we're standing on the tower and we ought to be looking. First thing we find, if you notice in the scriptures there, we're going to just let the word of God speak for itself. Say amen. We find there in verse number 1 of chapter number 16, the Bible says this. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. First thing I notice, they want a sign. Huh? They're wanting a sign. Now I understand that we're a little curious, okay? I realize that men are a little curious, but I'm going to be honest with you here as I see this. Can I say to you that a sign is something that you can see? Everybody agree with me there? A sign is something that you can lay your eyes on, something that you can hold to. The Bible says over there in 1 Corinthians, I believe it, maybe 2 Corinthians there, he says, for we live by faith, not by sight. If you're living by sight rather than by faith, you're lost. Amen. If you're living by what you can do and what you can see and the things that you can lay your hands on, if that's what you're living by and you're not putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're lost this morning. You need to get saved. Amen. The Bible says a just shall live by faith. Amen. You know what that tells me about that Pharisee and Sadducee's bunch? It tells me they're lost. Amen. It's a goose in a snowstorm. Amen. They didn't have no power. They didn't have no God on them. Amen. They didn't have nothing. Amen. None of that. I say to you this morning that you need to live by faith and not by sight. Amen. Listen, has anybody seen Jesus? Have you laid your hands on Jesus? No. Anybody seen Paul? No. How in the world do you know what happened? Huh? How do you know it? That book right there, amen. The Word of God, amen. The Holy Ghost coming by, and the Holy Ghost speaking to your heart, and he takes that word and he shows you that, amen. I live by faith, amen. Thank God you listened to me this morning. I know the blood's been applied to my heart. You say, preacher, how you know that? By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. We don't have to see that. We have to, amen. Thank God. I'm glad I know that he saved me one day, amen. I live by faith. I ain't going to live by sight. Amen. What I'm saying to you this morning is this. When you see a lot of these other religions, a lot of this other junk, and I know I say this, and the first thing people think in their mind, I can tell by the look in your eyes, okay? First thing people say, I can't believe you'd run somebody's religion down. It's time we run them down. If we're not right with that book, if we're not right with Jesus Christ, it's time we stand up against them. Jesus did. He called them vipers and hypocrites. Amen. He stood up against them, and he's not changed, so we ain't. Amen. I believe we ought to stand against them. Amen. As we look at that, I believe one of the first things you see when you go out to a lot of these places, they're not living by sight. Or excuse me, they're not living by faith. They're living by sight. They're living on what they've done, what they're going to do. What they can do, amen. I know you get tired of me preaching that. We need to understand that today. I don't believe we're getting that. I believe that goes right past us. I believe it blows by us just like a wind, amen. I don't believe you said it. You listen to me this morning. You will not get into heaven by what you have done. You will not get into heaven by what you can do, what your name is, how much money you got. You will not get into heaven that way. You get into heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ when you have faith in him, amen. And there's no other way that you'll get there, amen. This religious bunch is teaching some other way. They're saying you can get to God some other way. Amen. I could call out name after name after name. And I guarantee you if I did, I'd kill a service right here. Every one of you would get mad at me and run off. Amen. But I'd call name after name after name this morning of men that'll stand up in that pulpit, stand up in a pulpit, stand up in front of somebody and be a motivational speaker and try to tell them that there's another way to Jesus. There's another way to heaven and there's another way to God. It's a lie straight out of hell is what it is. Amen. That's the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You'll not get there without him. Amen. You'll not get there without him. Let me move on. I got to hurry. We find not only do they need a sign, but I believe as we look at this, I believe they're wise in the world, things this world. Boy, that looks good, don't it? Notice with me verse number 2 and 3 here. I notice here, you answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Everybody heard that? I've heard that all my life. Red skies in the morning, shepherds take warning. Red sky at night, shepherd delights, what everybody says. Amen. You didn't realize that's in the Bible, did you? Huh? Jesus said that. That's red as red letters. Amen. It's in there. But you know what he's telling this religious bunch? He's saying, you know the things of the world. You can see what's going on around you with nature, and you can see the things going on around you like that, but you can't even deceive who God is. Notice the next word there, verse number 3. I stopped right there for a reason. But notice the next words he says here. Oh, ye hypocrites. Woo, glory to God. Mark Caulfield didn't say that. The book said that. Oh, ye hypocrites. In other words, they could discern the skies. They could look up and see that happening. But they could not reach God. Amen. They didn't know how to get. Notice the rest of this. They didn't know how to get to God. He says this. Oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the time? In other words, can't you see it's time that, amen, that we get right with God? Can you not see that Jesus can come at any moment today, church? Amen. Listen to me this morning as I look at this. I thought, wow, is that not where we're at? I'm going to be honest with you. When I stepped down in that tower this morning and began to look at this message and began to look at the world, I thought, man, these Pharisees and Sadducees all over the place. I mean, we're more worried about getting a college education. We're more worried about learning more about what's going on around us. We'll sit and listen to Fox News and CNN News and all these other news. We're more worried about the things around us here and what we can do over here and do over there than we are reaching God. Amen. I believe that. Amen. I believe that's the case. You listen to me this morning. I believe from the depths of my heart as we look at this. He's saying you look at all around, but you can't see get to God by this. Amen. Leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You better stay away from it, church. You better stay away from it. Listen, I ain't got a thing wrong whatsoever. Again, as I say this so many times, with learning college educations, if you want to do that, that's fine. I ain't got a thing against that, but you better get in that book. That book right there better be number one in your life. Teenager, young'uns, it don't matter, adult alike, you better stay in that book. You better stay with Jesus. There's so much out there that'll draw you away from God, that'll try their best to keep you away from God, and it looks good. Oh, yes, it looks good. But you listen to me, it's a way of the devil. Amen? It's the way of the devil. You see, when you look from the outside, you can see all these churches, and they'll have steeple on them. Huh? They'll have doors on them. There'll be a group coming together. It'll look good. Oh, yeah, it'll look like a church. The Bible says there's a way which seems right unto men between their eyes, ways of death. Amen. What did he tell the Pharisees and the Sadducees in another place there? He said, you're like whited sepulchers. You look good on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. But we're living in a day and time when I believe a lot of times people can't even tell the difference. They ain't even gotten the Word of God enough to be able to tell the difference between one that's teaching the truth of the Word of God and the one that's not. Amen. I believe we've got to take that book, and that book will shine a light on them. Amen. It'll show what's right. You know how, listen to me today, you know how we know as we read this scripture, do you know how we know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the doctrine of that bunch is not right? You know how we know that? Because Jesus said so. The light shined on it, okay? The light shined on it. It's ain't Mark Caulfield preaching, okay? It's ain't Mark Caulfieldology. It's that word shining a light on it. It's that word. What is the word? Is that not Jesus Christ? You put Jesus up there next to him, it'll shine a light on him. Amen. It'll reveal what's wrong. Amen. You stand that book, it'll show you what's wrong. Amen. Don't wait for the preacher to tell you what's right and what's wrong. Get in that book, find out for yourself. Amen. God will show it to you. I believe that. Number three, got to move on quickly. Not only do we find they wanted a sign. Number two, they wanted they could see the things of this world. Number three, I thought about this. Notice verse number three. He says here, I like this. Verse number four, excuse me. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given unto you but the sign of the prophets, prophet Jonas. And he left them departed. I got a picture in my mind. Humor me right here just for a minute, if you will. God's helping me today, and I appreciate it. I got a picture in my mind of these old Pharisees, Sadducees stepping out there, trying their best to trip him up, trying their best to tempt him, trying to get him to say something wrong. And they step out there and they say, Lord, show us a sign. Show us a sign. Notice the scriptures. Jesus begins to talk about the weather. He says, you say in the morning, he said, in the night, he said, red skies, boy, it's going to be a pretty day. He said, in the morning you get up, you see the red skies, said, boy, you say it's going to be cloudy, going to be a bad day. And I mean, they're on the edge. They're listening. Every word he's saying, boy, they're right there listening to him. Okay, we got him. And then Jesus says, you bunch of hypocrites. Anybody else see that? Tell me there ain't humor in there. You bunch of hypocrites, huh? You can discern the things of the sky, but you can't discern the times. And then he says this, notice, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Those words jumped out the page at me as I began to study this, and I thought, wow, Jesus looking at these religious folk that are in the temples and in the synagogues, standing there teaching from the scriptures, teaching from the manuscripts, if you will, standing there trying to be leaders in the church houses, trying to be there. And he looks at them there and he says, you're wicked and adulterous. Amen. I say one more time, Mark didn't say that. Huh? Mark Caulfield didn't say that. That's the book, okay? He said, you're wicked and adulterous, okay? That's what he said about that bunch, amen? He said, you're wicked and adulterous. Notice with me, let me give you a definition, if I can, the word wicked. It means this, hurtful, that is evil, calamitous, that is diseased. Oh, man, I thought about these. Vicious, ferocious, malice. I'm just reading you right out of the Strong's Concordance, okay? Bad, evil, grievous, harmful, lewd, malicious. That's the words that wicked, that defines wicked. And he's looking at that religious bunch and he said, y'all are wicked. Y'all are wicked. I know this ain't popular preaching. I know, but I'm preaching to you the truth out of the Word of God. I got a picture in my mind, Jesus walking into Marion. I got a picture in my mind, Jesus walking in to our society where we live today, and he's looking out there and sees exactly the same thing. And I can tell by looking at you right now, you're saying, oh, preacher, that ain't the case. Just let them do what they want to. It ain't the case. Hey, it's time we stand up. Because what's happening is this bunch is fooling people and they're taking them to hell with them. Amen. They're dying and going to hell by the groves. And it's all because they're preaching them something other than Christ. Amen. It's they're preaching something other than Christ. And I could give you again religion after religion after religion. I wonder how many of the Catholic churches took to hell with them. I wonder how many of the Lutherans took to hell with them. Amen. I wonder how many of all these others took them to hell with them. Amen. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. I see all this stuff and it's straight out of hell. Amen. As we look in this scripture, Jesus stepping up, I believe he looks at him and said, you're wicked and adulterous. That word adulterous there, if you look it up and you study it, it means there the adultery of a man and a woman. But it also goes deeper than that. It even goes deeper than that. It is apostasy. You know what apostasy is? Apostasy is turning from something you've already confessed. Turning from something you've already confessed. In other words, if you've already pledged your loyalty to that thing and you turn from that thing, that's what it is. That's what adulteress is. Amen. It's when a man and a woman makes a vow at the wedding ceremony there, and they make that vow one to another and they go to somebody else. What happens there is it's separated, okay? What happens there is it's separated. They've went from that union and that vow that they made and they went the other direction. It's what happens, okay? Same way as these Pharisees and Sadducees, at one time they knew the Word of God. At one time they knew the teaching of God by all the writings there. They knew that book and they turned and went the other direction. That's exactly it. Well, listen, I believe these people that goes against this Bible. I believe these people that goes against, but the ones that I believe is going to have the worst, it's going to be the worst, is those that knew at one time. Been in it, talked to them all their life, and they turned around, went the other way. They turned around and went the other way. I think a lot about the other perversions of the Bible has brought a doubt on the truth of the Word of God. If church, you listen to me this morning, I'm going to give you this and I'm going to move on. If we don't have a Bible that is true, inerrant, infallible, Holy Ghost breathed, if we don't have a Bible, then we don't have nothing. You're not saved. You don't have the blood. We don't have a Savior. We don't have nothing. If you took one part out of that Bible, one part out of that Word, out of the Word of God, you don't have nothing. You just wilt eat half today. And when they go to teaching against that book, it's time for us to stand. It's time for me to preach against it, okay? If they go against that book, it's time for me to stand up and preach against it. Let's move on. If that kills the service, it's already dead. Say amen. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you looking for a sign? Or have you had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm glad I can say this morning I've had faith in Him. That's a religious bunch that I don't want nothing to do with. I just don't want nothing to do with it. Notice the second group of people. I'll give you this and we'll close. I thought about the disciples. I was trying my best to hurry. I know that was going to be long this morning. God gave me all this, and I know that was going to be long. That'll be all right. I'm just going to preach God gets done. Say amen. Amen. Look at verse number 5. And when His disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. You know what's the first thing I see about the disciples, the followers of God, followers of Jesus? They forgot the bread. They forgot the bread. I'm just going to carry my Bible around. Tired of hope, picking it up and laying it down. They forgot the bread. It's all about that book, church. They forgot the bread. Now I realize in this scripture, I realize that Jesus is trying to teach them that to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and stay away from it, okay? I understand that. But one of the first thoughts they had in their minds is they forgot the bread. They forgot the bread. I got to turn around a little rabbit right here, if you'll let me. It's time we quit forgetting the bread. I'm going to look. What we're looking at here is we're standing in the tower, and we're looking at the disciples. We're looking at what we see. And when we look at what we see out there, the first thing I notice, ain't got no bread with them. Twice already, Jesus has fed 5,000 at one time, had 7 basketfuls left over. I'm getting ahead of myself. That'd be all right. Second, they 5,000. Excuse me, it's 4,000. Been fed. 7 basketfuls left over. According to what I can find, that's 19 basketfuls of bread. Boy, that's enough to feed an army, ain't it? But when you look at the disciples, they don't have any. They don't have any. Church, I believe this from the depths of my heart. When you look the way our world is today, you know why it is? The disciples ain't got the bread. The disciples have left the bread. I believe it. I believe it. I'm glad it's quiet, okay? I'm glad it's quiet. I believe they've left the bread. Me and my brother was talking the other night, and boy, I appreciate my brother. I'm going to be honest with you, not Marvin, but Myron. I appreciate Marvin too. He's going to be here tonight, hopefully, maybe. Tell him I said that, please. But I appreciate my brother Myron. He's deacon of Hicks Chapel up there teaching the men's Sunday school class. And God is all over that boy. I'm telling you, God's all over that boy. He is digging into that word and he's teaching. Got into 1 Corinthians the other day, chapter 16, where he talks about tithing. He said, I thought I'd just go right on by that. And he said, God made me dig in. I said, yeah, boy. And God made him dig in there. But me and him have been talking about that book, and we were talking the other night. I believe we're living in a society when people have laid down the Word of God. Do you remember Grandma and Grandpa? I mean, they didn't have no lights. They didn't have no electricity. But they stood there, sat there by the kerosene lanterns and get that Word. Didn't have no stupid television to turn on. Didn't have no stupid iPad to play on. Didn't have no stupid telephone to play on. Amen. Huh? When it got dark, they come in and they sat down there and they began to grab that book and they began to read. Amen. They began to get the bread. They began to take the bread with them, okay? We're living in a society today when even the disciples, even those that are saved that are following Jesus Christ, I'm afraid they don't even know what they believe. I'm afraid they don't even know that book. You would be amazed at the questions that are asked me. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. You would be amazed at the questions that are asked me about the Bible straight from somebody that's saved and been saved for 10, 15, 20 years, and they still don't know where it's at in the Bible. They still don't know what's in there. When I look at this and I look at our society and I'm saying, wow, I can't believe it. What's happened? What's happened is we forgot the bread on the other side. We forgot the bread back there, okay? That's the first thing I see about the disciples. We forgot the bread. Number two, I see something else as we look in the scriptures here, and I'm trying my best to hurry. Not only have they forgot the bread, but if you look at the scripture here, notice what Jesus says, verse number 8. He says, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith. I believe we've laid our faith down. I believe that. I believe it's time that we ought to have faith in Him. Not faith in each other. Not faith in ourselves. But faith in Him, church. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can do anything. I can't do nothing. You can't either. Those that are sick, those that are afflicted, we can't heal them. God can. Amen. We got doctors that think they do all kinds of stuff. God ain't done. Listen, them doctors ain't done nothing unless God says it can do. Amen. They can't bring a man back unless God says. Amen. Okay, it's God. It's all God, okay? We need to understand. We need to have faith. Did you listen to me this morning? First thing you need to have faith in is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's your Savior this morning. Do you know Jesus is your Savior this morning? If you don't know Him as your Savior, today would be a good day to get saved. We have little faith. I thought about something else here. Not only do we have little faith, we just don't understand. Notice what He told them there, verse number 9. Do ye yet not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of 5,000, how many baskets you took up. Neither 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up. In other words, have you forgot what God's done for you? Huh? I see the disciples in this, and I'm just going, again, I'm just standing on the tower. I'm just looking at what Jesus has found. I'm just looking at what He's saying here. And I believe that's my heart, church, this morning. This is what He sees, and I believe that's what He's seeing today. Huh? I believe we've left the bread. I believe we forgot the faith. I believe we failed to remember what God's done for us. We failed to understand how good God is and how great God is. We failed to understand. And I could dig in right here and preach for 2 hours, okay? I'm not going to. But we could stand right here for 2 hours and preach on this right here. We forgot. Amen. Have you forgot how good God is? Go back to the day you got saved. I've said this so many times. I've been praying for revival. And if you have revival, you're going to go back to the day you got saved. You'll go back and say, glory to God, He saved me. Amen. He blew through my study this morning, reminded me that He saved me from my sins. I said, glory to God. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. I'm glad this morning I know I'm saved. I'm glad I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I understand what God's done for me. But these folks, these disciples, they didn't understand. All this word about, man, we forgot that bread over there. Huh? And I say again, I'm running a little rabbit there. We can look at it two different ways. But they get down here and Jesus says, you done forgot what I done for you? You done forgot I fed. I've already fed 9,000 people and you had 19 baskets left over, okay? You don't think I can't feed you? You don't think I can't take care of you? Amen. Church, I'm your hey, he can take care of us. Amen. He can just look at us, okay? Ain't none of you this morning looks like you're failing a meal or missing a meal. Amen. Amen. Every one of us looks good, clothed up. Amen. Listen, God's been good to us, ain't he? We're living in a place this morning. It's a heated building. Amen. Lights, everything. God's been good to us. Amen. He saved us, sent his son to die for us. I say glory to God this morning. Amen. I say he's been good to us. But I believe what I see today is I see the disciples forgetting how good he's been to us. Forgetting what he's done for us, what he can do. Amen. I believe we see that. And then I thought about this. Not only do we find the Pharisees and Sadducees, we find the disciples. And I want to spend a little more time on disciples, but God said to move on. I find the instructions to both of them. Instructions to both of them. If we look here in the scriptures, boy, he gets down where the rubber meets the road on the Pharisees and Sadducees. He says, you hypocrites. He says, you can deceive or discern the skies, but you can't even discern the times. He can't even discern the times. And he tells them, or he looks at them there. I believe in that statement that he makes, I believe he's telling them there, you better be looking up. You better be looking up. So, preacher, how do you figure that? Well, notice what he says. There shall no sign be given except the sign of Jonas. Now, I got to looking at this four times in your King James Bible in the New Testament. You'll find this statement, the sign of the Jonas. And I began to look over there in the book of Luke, and I'm going to have you turn there because of time, but you begin to look over there, and he begins to talk about the people of Nineveh. And he begins to talk about even Solomon and when Queen Sheba came and looked at Solomon. And he talks about there that if you look at Jonas there, Jonah was sent down there to Nineveh. And you know what it says about Nineveh? They're a wicked people. God told Jonah, said, go down there and prophesy against them. I have seen their wickedness. But they can turn. Because if you read in the scriptures, Nineveh actually turned, had a revival and actually turned back. Okay, so that actually happened. Thank God for that. Amen. So he's telling them they can't turn back. But he's also telling them this, that Solomon was visited by Queen Sheba, and the reason that she came up is because she wanted to see his glory. She wanted to see all the riches that he's had. She had heard how good he was, how big he was and everything, and how all the riches that he had, and she wanted to come and see that. Do you know what? If we'll just stay close to God, we'll tell others about Jesus, you know what will happen? The Bible says we'll draw all men unto him. What's the Bible say? When I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. And that's what he said, the prophet Jonah. Amen. That's what he's talking about, the signs of the times there. And that's what he was talking about. Along with, he also says back over there in the other chapters where he mentions this, he says, as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Huh? He rose again the third day. Say amen. My Savior's not dead. Say amen. My Savior's alive this morning. Thank God. Amen. That's a sign he gave them. And you listen to me now. You listen to me. The only hope that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had is they had to see his glory. They had to realize that he died on the cross and rose again the third day. They had to come to Jesus. They had to come to him. And that was the only hope they had. The only hope they had. But what did he tell the disciples? What did he tell the disciples? Take heed and beware. In other words, take heed. That word take heed means to look upon, to examine it. Don't just take it nonchalantly, but to look and to behold and lay your eyes on it. Take heed. And then he said beware. When you beware of something, you're cautious. You stay away from that thing, okay? If there's a rattlesnake over there on the floor, you better believe I'm going to stay away from it, okay? I'm going to put a new door in this place. Something I can tell you, amen, or wind of one. I'm staying away from it, okay? I'm going to take heed to that, and I'm going to run from that. I ain't going to run towards it. I'm going to run away from it. Amen. That's the way we got to do, church, amen. That junk that we see out there that's being taught, the things of the devil, the things of the world, the things of these Pharisees and the Sadducees, we need to stay away from them, amen. Take heed and beware of them. Now, I'll give you this, and I'll close. I thought about two different things that happened right here in this scripture. We're looking from the Tower of Magdala. We're looking and trying to figure out, trying to see the things that has happened, the things that are going on right here in the scriptures. I want you to notice in verse number 4, the last statement, what Jesus did to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Notice with me, read with me. This is the book. And he left them and departed. Did you get that? And he left them and departed. He's seen what was going on. He's seen their doctrine. He's seen they were trying to trick him. He's seen every bit of it. And he turned and walked away. Can you imagine? Wow, God just gave me a message. Glory to God. The back of God. The back of Jesus. Man, that's running all the way up my spine. Have you ever seen the back of God, the back of Jesus? I never have. Have you read the scripture? Boy, my mind's going to be a different way, Brother Kevin. Think about that. The back of God. I've seen his face in the scriptures. I've seen him when he came to me and called me, Brother Jim. I've seen those. I've seen his face. And it talks about coming unto him. But he's back. Listen to me, he's back. I've never seen that. But these people right here saw. Glory to God. Saw the back of God when he turned and walked away from them. What a tragedy. What a heartbreak. How awful it is that he would turn and walk away from these people. Because they would not acknowledge him as God. They would not. That's a whole other message. Thank God. Glory to God. But you know what he did with the disciples? I find no word where he left the disciples. I find all the way over to the end. I done read the end of the book. I done read the end of the book we went into, amen. Listen, I've done read the end of the Gospels there. And you know what? As we read the end of the Gospels there, Jesus is right there. Where's his disciples at? Right there. I realize they denied him. Peter denied him. I realize that. But if you'll just search the scriptures there just a little bit, it ain't long after the resurrection. Who'd he appear to? The disciples. Amen. Come back to them. Amen. Thank God. You listen to me. God, listen. God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Amen. Thank God. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We'll always have the Holy Ghost. I'm glad this morning as I looked at this scripture and I looked from the tower. Oh, it's a sad scene. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a sad scene when we look at what's going on in the society and where we're at today. It's a sad scene when we see all these Pharisees and Sadducees and we see the condition of the disciples. We see where they're at. They forgot the bread. They've lost their faith. They don't understand. Sad. I say, God help us. And the bad thing about it, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they have no hope except that sign of the son of Jonas. And that is, accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have no hope. But I'm glad to say this morning, we have hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you're lost. Today would be a good day to get saved. Ain't no better day. Today's the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus, your Savior, I would invite you to come. But if you're here this morning and you're saying, I'm one of the disciples, I'm a follower of Jesus, I try my best to stay with Jesus, I wonder if somebody stood up on the tower of Magdala and looked at us and seen us, what would he see? What would he see? Let's stand to your feet. I appreciate your attention this morning. I thank God for his help this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, please see us come play for us if you will. I know I've been a little empty this morning. I told you I had 10 extra minutes.